Ephesians 5 there, gentlemen. All right, when you've found that, let's all stand for reading of God's Word one more time, please. Follow along as I read. I'm going to pick up in verse number 1. I want to get the context, and I'm going to read down to verse number 21. 18 will be the text tonight, and many of you know these verses, but I want you to see them again as we cover Ephesians 5. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are not what are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that thou walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, and Father, for these verses. Lord, as tonight we look again at the Holy Spirit and, Lord, what he does in our life, I pray that you'd help us tonight, give us understanding. Help me, Lord, as I preach tonight, which you would direct my words and thoughts, Lord, and may, Lord, I just only teach what is edifying. And Lord, I pray that you would keep me from saying things that would be, Lord, not pleasing to you. Father, this we ask tonight in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Can I get, let's see, Mike, can you fill this up with water all the way to the top, please? We're looking tonight at Ephesians 5 with the topic of the Holy Spirit being our helper, as we looked at last week. Tonight I want to preach on verse number 18 on being filled with the Spirit, and title of the message, of course, is Filler Up. Verse number 18 tells us we're instructed, the saint is instructed not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. And now tonight I am going to use a little bit, I'm going to talk tonight just a bit about the Greek, not to try to be intellectual, not to try to make anybody feel like they can't study the Bible, but sometimes in the Greek we see a few things that are not always readily evident with the English, unless you do a little studying. But that doesn't mean you don't need to know the Greek to know the Bible.
That's right.
So I'm not trying to make that statement tonight, but I just want to help a little bit to see some things tonight from that. The word but here is the word Allah, which is a very emphatic but in the Greek language. And so it's what we call the big but in Greek. All right? And so, it's very emphatic. That Christ instructs the believer, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, the faithful saint understands the struggle of this verse, being filled with the Spirit. We understand as a faithful servant of God, we understand that the Spirit and the flesh, according to Galatians chapter 5, are contrary one to the other. And God says, listen, if you walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit, you cannot do the things that you would. And of course, Wednesday night with Wayne Scott here, what a fantastic and timely message as we're looking at Romans and the Spirit of God on Sunday nights. What a fantastic message to kind of fit in there. So he really taught us some things that very beneficial tonight and kind of fits dovetails with this. But there's a struggle. And like he said, it's like there's two people on our shoulders, one on one side, the other on the other. And of course, one the angel, one the other the demon. And they're just talking in our ears about what to do and trying to convince us to do right and trying to convince us to do wrong on the other side. And so, but the faithful servant of God understands there is a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and they're contrary one to the other. They're like gas, they're like water and oil, they'll never mix. All right? If you're walking in the one, you're not walking in the other. If you're walking in the spirit, you're not in the flesh. If you're in the flesh, you're not in the spirit. And so we understand that. The carnal believer, however, simply assumes, if I'm not drunk with wine, I must be filled with the spirit. And really, the carnal believer really has no problem really walking in the flesh. They really have no problem. Sometimes they don't see anything wrong with it. And that's the sad thing among carnal believers, is that you get to a place where you just don't see anything wrong with walking in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And the big thing is, what's so wrong with what I'm doing? And that should not be the question. The question should be, what is right about what you are doing? Is God pleased? And are you in the spirit? If you're not in the spirit, then it is still sin. And so that's a struggle. The absence of the sins of the flesh isn't always a guarantee of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not a fornicator. So obviously then I must fill the Spirit. Not necessarily. All right? And so we're going to look at some of that this evening. Believers are not often filled, I believe, for two reasons. Believers are not often filled. First of all, it's because of pride and rebellion. If you hold your place in Ephesians, look with me at James chapter 4, another familiar verse of Scripture tonight. And we're going to stay mostly in James, but we'll jog around this a little bit. We'll stay mostly in Ephesians, but we will jog around this a little bit in some Scripture. But in James chapter 4, we see this in verse number 5. The Bible says, do you think, the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth the envy? There is a natural part of us that loves the flesh, that loves sin. And so the Bible says in verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God giveth grace. God resisteth the proud, giveth grace unto the humble. There's no way to be filled with pride and be filled with the Spirit. And I really believe that oftentimes believers who are sincere in their service but are not filled because of pride and because of rebellion. You can be a believer that carries the Bible to church and does all the right things and doesn't swear and curse and has the right modesty and all those things, but be proud and not be filled. We can't point a finger at the sins of the flesh and say, well, you're guilty of such and such, but yet the believer's not filled because of pride and rebellion. And so we find that's one reason that I think that's the biggest reason tonight, is because believers in our country today, in our modern day of America, among God's people today, there's just a great level of pride. We're satisfied with where we're at. And don't bump me. Don't upset my apple cart. You know, if I'm not out killing somebody, then preacher's none of your business how I spend the rest of my life. And if God's not happy, then that's God's problem. If God's not happy, that's your problem. Right. And there's a better life, by the way, than living in the flesh. That's right. There's a great life of living in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. Now, we also see this, that living in the flesh, of course, is contrary to being filled with the Spirit of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, I want you to see this. Find Ephesians 5 and also Romans 14. Let me show you, I'm going to compare these verses together a moment, and then we'll kind of get in some thoughts this evening. We're looking at why aren't Christians filled? We could probably give a million reasons, but I'm going to boil it down to two reasons tonight. Number one is pride and rebellion. Number two is living in the flesh. Right, that's a big blanket, but it covers most of that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says this. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. Think about that. God puts right with fornication covetousness. Why? Because it's idolatry. When you covet for things, more than you covet for God. God calls it idolatry. Let it not be once named among you as become as saints. God said the church should be so filled with the Spirit of God that these sins aren't even named once among the church house, on the body of Christ. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, rather giving of thanks. Now watch verse number 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. All right, now look at Romans chapter 14. Look with me, verse number 17. Romans 14, 17 says, now watch this, for the kingdom of God, which the whoremonger or unclean person or covetous has no inheritance in, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not physical. It's not food in your belly. It's not prosperity Christianity. It's not wealth and riches. Okay? Well, I must, preacher, I must be living right. I've got lots of money. That's how folks think. Well, God must be pleased. My business is doing fantastic. So is a tavern. Right? But God said that's not the kingdom of God. You can't judge a spirituality based on how thick your pocketbook is. All right? But watch what it says, verse 17. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. And God says, listen, the whoremonger and the unclean person and the covetous person, they have no part in that. They have no inheritance in that. In their life, there's no righteousness, there's no peace, and there's no joy of the Holy Ghost. But for the believer that's filled with the Spirit of God, in their life, you're going to find righteousness, and you're going to find peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There is a better plan than the flesh. There's a better life than living in the flesh. There's a better life than living with bitterness and anger in your heart and grudging. There's a better life than living for sins of the flesh and fornicating and running around with the world. There's a better life than that. There's a better life than being a pew warmer. Said, hey, I'll just, you know what, as long as I come, preacher, what does it matter if I'm just there? Well, the pews are just here. Aren't you better than a pew and light bulbs and carpet and chairs? Sure you are. And God has a plan for your life. And he wants you to fill with the Spirit of God. And there's joy there. There's great joy. There's peace there. There's righteousness there. Now, here's what I want you to see tonight. Let me give you this three quick points. Well, they're probably not quick, but there are 3 points anyway. Number one is this. The saint is filled, and I'll explain this here as we go along. The saint is filled to the point of his submission. I had the word there. The point is filled. The saint is filled to the point of their submission, but Abilene told me I cannot do that. That the subject and the whatever that's called has to agree. So if I say saint and there, they don't agree. I got to say saint and his or her. Right? I've been learning that this week. I can say saints, and I can say there. Thank you, Abilene. Appreciate that. And so the saint is filled to the point of his or her submission. Verse number 18 says this. Let me explain what I'm talking about. This I find this very interesting. If you don't, then just act like it, and then we'll get along a little better, okay? And listen, if you can amen Wayne Scott, you can amen the preacher, all right? I told my wife, I said, you know what? The church, amen, Wainscott, to death Wednesday night, and I get preachers like crickets. And so, anyway, that's okay. I'm not jealous. I am a little offended and hurt, but I'm not jealous. Shut up. Now watch this. Verse number 18 says this, and be not drunk with wine. That means don't be under the influence. Well, don't listen. Many of you tonight, you've either been under the influence or you've seen somebody under the influence. Now if you haven't, praise God for that. You don't need to go look for it. But when people are under the influence, they're stupid. And they lose the good discretion, and they lose all sense of sensibility, and they do dumb things that they regret the next morning. All right? And so God said, listen, and by the way, when you're under the influence, the alcohol has captured you and captivated you, and it controls and it influences how you think. It pervades you. So God said, listen, he used that same example. He said, listen, don't be filled with the Spirit, but be filled with the, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. As wine controls the alcoholic, let the Spirit of God control the believer. Now watch this. This is interesting to me. The word's filled here. Now, again, the word but here is emphatic in the Greek with the word Allah. And it's very emphatic about not being filled with wine, but being filled with the Spirit. The subject, of course, is understood as you, right? So it's an imperative sentence with a subject, ministered as you. You be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek verb, again, I'm not trying to sound tonight, trying to intellectual, I'm not, but I just want to help you out with this word here, being filled. The Greek word filled, the word filled is a verb, and in the Greek it's a plural verb. Which means we have a plural what? Subject. Thank you, Abilene. So that means that this verse is for every saint. The command is to every saint, not just to the preacher or the deacon. Not just the preacher's kids or the deacon's kids, but every saint is told to be filled with the Spirit. Now, the mood of the verb is imperative. It was, if you remember, your English is a command. When your mom says, go wash the dishes, she's saying to the kids, you all go wash the dishes. Right? They understood that. Now, they may not have liked it, but they understood that when mom says, go wash the dishes, she wasn't talking to daddy. I said, I don't think she was. If she was, I'd never obeyed. But she was saying to the boys, you go wash the dishes. It was an imperative. It was a command. There was no choice in the matter. There wasn't like, let's debate about this, talk about it, or maybe let's get out of it. It was a command to every child. So this is a command to every saint. The tense of this verb is present tense. And so it's to be a continuing condition. It's not just, you know what, I was filled last week, so I'm okay this week. It's to be a command that we follow on a continuous condition. There's no holiday for being filled with the Spirit. There's no vacation days. There's no like, you know what, I was filled last Sunday, I felt pretty good about it, I did a pretty good job, and so Monday's my day off. You know what, Spirit of God, I ain't got room for you today. No, it's a command in a present tense that was to be a continuing condition. Not just, by the way, not just for mom and dad. For every believer. Preacher, I'm only 15 years old. Be filled with the Spirit then. That's not just for adults or for old people. It's for every believer. Now here's what I find is very interesting. And I hope that you maybe find it interesting too. The Greek has a tense called the voice. The voice. And it talks about whether it's an active or passive. The verb here is passive. Meaning this. Of course, here's what it means. It means that I am not the one doing the action. I'm the one receiving the action. So the Bible says, you be filled with the Spirit of God. But it's the passive voice. So basically, God's saying, listen, cousin, the Spirit of God, when you got born again, you received the Spirit. And He wants to fill you. He's trying to fill you. He's wanting to fill you. And so all you have to do as a believer then, if the verb is passive, which it is, then all I got to do is receive it. I don't have to do it myself. I have to receive it. What that means to me that the biggest thing I have to do in my life is just submit. And just submit. Submission is the key in being filled with the Spirit of God. So the saint's role is to submit or yield to the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, I wrote this down yesterday, I hope it makes sense to you. Though prayer is an important and vital part of being filled with the Spirit, it would appear that that submission plays a larger role for the believer in being filled with the Spirit. If I'm a recipient of the Holy Spirit at salvation, He is actively wanting to fill me. I can reject Him or I can yield to Him. It's not a matter of the Holy Spirit's want to or ability. It's a matter of my submission. The Spirit of God wants to fill you. He's able to fill you. But will you resist or will you yield? Let me show what I mean from the scripture. Look at Acts 7, Romans chapter 6. Now, the reason I want to bring that out is when I was in Bible college, we were told that if we wanted to be full of the Spirit of God, we had to pray through. That it was a second anointing. And that you had to, and they gave us examples of men that supposedly went out and prayed and prayed and prayed, sometimes for 2 and 3 days and fasted, and somehow in the middle of the night or somehow in the wee hours of the morning, they were just filled, the Spirit of God come upon them and anointed them and filled them. Leaving us with the idea that if I'm part of the elite crowd among God's people, that I'll be filled with the Spirit of God and I'll have this special anointing. And God does use people in sometimes a special way. But as I read this scripture, it's a command. God commands us all to be filled, but also, it's also a passive verb meaning this. The Spirit of God wants to fill you. He's trying to fill you. On a daily basis, He's trying to fill you up with Himself. It's not an issue of if I'm elite, if I'm specially chosen, or if I can say the right words in prayer. The issue is if I'm submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Acts 7, verse 51, the Bible says this. Yeah, I was in Romans 7, excuse me. Look at verse number 51. It says, ye stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, Calvin says this, the Holy Ghost is irresistible. Right? That's what he said. You can't resist the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you've been predestined to be saved, you can't help it out. You're going to be saved no matter what, because he's irresistible. But the Bible says that he can be resisted. So why aren't Christians being filled tonight? They're resisting the Holy Ghost. They are, as others at times, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. And their ears are plugged up and they resist the Holy Ghost. Tonight you can resist being filled. He wants to fill you. It'd be like me standing at the car with the gas pump out, but not opening the lid. I wanna fill the car up with gas, but unless the lid is open, I'm gonna pour gas all over everything on the ground. The same with Shilas. Tonight if you close up and you're like, I'm gonna resist. He wants to fill you. He's trying to fill you. He's able to fill you. But you have to submit. Look at Romans chapter 6. Here's some verses that Brother Wayne Scott alluded to on Wednesday night. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 11. Look what it says in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should what? Obey it in the lust thereof. That you should submit or yield to it. Verse number 13. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So here we see tonight that I believe this because we feel the Spirit of God. Can anybody be filled? Of course, because it's a command. Why would God command you to do something you could not do? Could not fulfill? Does God set you up for failure? Never. God always sets us up, enables us for victorious Christian living. So it's not a matter of me trying to pray through. That's a Pentecostal thing. And somehow us Baptists somehow get a hold of that because really I think it's the issue of pride. I prayed through, I got it, what's your problem? It's an issue of pride. It's men drawing attention to themselves. Somehow that we're the elite and somehow we got what you didn't get, and if you just get close to us, maybe you get some of what we got. I don't really care if they get what you got. Okay? So it's not an issue of did I pray through. It's an issue, did you surrender? Did you submit? God said, listen, whatever you yield yourself to, that's what's going to fill you. If you yield to sin, play with sin, live the flesh, that's what will fill you. And the Spirit of God can't fill what is occupied. All right? If I got a bunch of junk in my life, and listen, let me tell you something. You know, my wife's a fantastic cook. Did a great job today. We had a great time, and I wish I wasn't trying to get a little bit thinner, because I'd have ate about about three more helpings of those potatoes and gravy. But if I fill myself up with cupcakes and ho-hos and Twinkies and on the way home from church, I can get home and have the best meal available, but I ain't going to have any room for it. And by the way, at the end of the day, I'm going to be sick. Right? Same way it's true in the spiritual life. If you live your life on fleshly garbage and junk, when the Spirit of God comes to he's trying to fill you up, there's no room for it. And at the end of the day, guess what? You're going to be awful sick. And so he says, yield yourselves, submit yourselves. Now, here, let me answer this question. Come back to the Ephesians. So if we have to submit to be filled, what does submission look like in the believer's life? What does it look like for the believer to submit to God? Because some of us would say tonight, most of the time we say, preacher, but I am not a whoremonger. And I don't fornicate. Really, preacher, really, you know what? Besides a few things like a boat and some other things, I'm not covetous. I'm pretty content with what I've got. All right, so what does submission look like in the believer's life then? Look at verse number 21. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So what it looks like in the believer's life as I submit is this. Here's what it looks like. I'm submitting myself one to another. I'm not compromising, but I'm getting along with God's people. Just, I mean, you can't get along with folks at church I'm not sure if you submit to the Spirit of God. You're probably not being filled. Listen, if you're carrying grudges tonight, there's no place in a believer's life for grudges. The Spirit of God, the same place. Tonight, if you're harboring bitterness and anger, there's no submission there. So I don't want to submit, preacher. I want my way. I understand. But you want the Spirit of God to fill you. So there's some things that happened in my life recently I'm not very happy about. And by the way, it's painful. But I'm going to submit to some things because I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I want to win in the end. All right? Now watch this. What else does submission look like? Look at verse number 22. Now watch this. Don't throw rocks at me or tomatoes. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So what does submission look like for the believer? You know, husbands, you know, listen, sir, if you're filled, you're submitted to Christ. He's your head. You're living to please Him. You're living to fulfill His will in your life. Ma'am, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, submitting to Him, I'm going to submit to God. Then try your husband first. Because you don't submit to your husband, you can't submit to God. Well, I pray you don't understand, this is 2019. This is the day of the women. Hear us roar. Find your place, ma'am. Now, that's old-fashioned preaching. That get a guy shot in the street somewhere. But you have a role to fill, and it's not being a husband. God made a man to be a man. Well, he won't be a man. Well, then you just be a lady. Now, I know that's contrary to how we think. And I know tonight, if I was to sit in your house, you'd give me 15 reasons why that can't work for you. But then if you can't submit to your own husband, you can't be filled with the Spirit of God. Because submitting to your husband is submitting to the Lord. Isn't that what it says? So you look at me like, wait a minute. Preacher, bring back Brother Wayne Scott. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. What does submission look like? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Young person said, preacher, you know, I'm a young person. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. But you have to submit. What's it look like? Submitting to your parents. Now look up here now. Ain't time to go to sleep. Submit to your parents. That's what submission to the Spirit of God looks like. Listen, you can't say I'm filled with the Spirit of God and live in rebellion toward your parents. Doesn't work. And God says, if you want to be, listen, submission is what it takes to be filled. Submission then is obvious. It's not just, listen, if it's, well, preacher, it's in my heart, then let's see it. Submission is something that's going to be obvious on the outside. It's not just a condition of the heart, but if it's in the heart, it'll direct the behavior of the believer. And so submission looks like children obeying their parents. If you want to be a 15-year-old filled with the Spirit of God, obey your parents. Well, it doesn't matter. Submission is, listen, let me tell you something. If God told you to run down to the Culver's and get a large concrete, where they call those things down there, that's no problem for me to obey that. It's like, boy, I love God's will. He told me to go get a large concrete with peanut butter cups in them. That is a great way to, you know, like, man, that's a great way to serve God. If God told you, listen, I want you to empty out your wallet and give it to somebody else. I want you to give 50 bucks to somebody. Well, wait a minute, God. See, submission is not proved when you do what you like. Submission is proven when you're told what to do and you do it even if you don't like it. By the way, with the right attitude. That's submission. And we can't be filled with the Spirit without submission. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. So I really believe this, after studying, that being filled with the Spirit of God is a matter of submission more than it is a matter of praying through. More than it is a matter of asking. Listen, God said, by the way, God said, listen, if you ask for the Spirit, I'll give it to you. Right? Is that what He said? He's not holding back the Spirit of God from anybody. If you ask, I'll give the Spirit of God. The issue is, am I submitted? Am I submitted? The more I submit, the more I'm filled. 1 Peter 5:5. What does submission look like in the believer's life? 1 Peter 5:5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God blesses those that submit. And so I believe this, that what does submission look like in the believer's life? Sir, submit to God. You're the head of the home. Be a man. Be submissive to God. God's will. Well, by the way, don't have to ask your kids for approval. And they ask your teenagers, well, what do you think about God's will for our life? They wouldn't know if God wrote it to them in an Instagram. They don't know. Not because they're not able to, it's just because at that point in their life, they're not even looking for it sometimes. God appointed you to be the husband. You're the man. You decide. You submit to him. He didn't tell you to submit to your wife. She's not the boss. She's the head of the house. I don't mean that in derogatory. I mean, I'm not going to take away from the role of a woman, but God said a man's the head of the wife. He's the head of the home. And so submit to God. Be a man. Be a leader. We need leaders. Without skinny jeans. Amen. Without weird haircuts and weird femmy ways. Be a man. Hey, grow some hair in your back. Stand up and be proud of it. Just be a man. And listen, what's looking to be full of the Spirit, man? It looks like you being submissive to your husband. Well, he doesn't, listen, it doesn't matter if he deserves it or not. Listen, where did you ever come across this idea that a person has to earn? Listen, I understand the husband should treat his wife right. I'm not taking away from that. But he doesn't have to earn your submission, man. You give it. You give it because why? Because God said so. Listen, there's no man that earns. We don't treat you good enough to earn it. Really? We treat you that well. He's like, oh, this is no problem. No, it is a problem. Because it's not your nature to submit. But you submit because you want to feel the Spirit of God. It's not in a teenage nature, really, in our nature, to be obey our parents. But why do you do it? To be filled with the Spirit of God. To be right with God. Because otherwise, God says, the opposite of submit is pride, is arrogancy and pride. God said this, I resist the proud. But I'll bless those that are humble. I'll bless those that have humility. And so I believe this tonight, that the saint is filled to the point of submission. I'm going to stop there for a second. We'll finish up next week. I want to show you something here real quick. How do you know? Now, we find here, let me show you something. Let me get my place here. I'm going to skip ahead. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 19. Verse number 18 gives us the command to be filled with the Spirit. Look at verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves, boy, if we stop there, most of you be spiritual. Answering yourselves, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hey, that's a byproduct of being filled. Verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's a byproduct of being filled. Submission is part of being filled. Hey, having a happy marriage, watch it now, it's part of being filled. Let me tell you something. I've never seen the flesh produce a good marriage. Right. Now it rocks the boat pretty hard. You can have pleasures for a season for a while living in the flesh, but when the end is done, then death comes. And so living in the Spirit, part of the fruit is having a good marriage. Tonight, if we're looking at Galatians chapter 5, we find there's fruit of the Spirit. When a person walks in the Spirit, there's fruit produced. Can you name them? Name some of them. What do we have? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, right? Those are fruit. Now, here's the example. Preacher, how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit of God? Mike, when he left us, he filled us with water. All right, come up here, Devin, you big palooka. Bump me. Bump my cup. Hey. Now, this cup was full of what?
Water.
When it got bumped, what came out? Dump it, bump it again. Bump, get up here. Be it right. Come on now. Act like you're at school when your grandparents ain't here. Water come out, right? So I don't know if I'm filled with the Spirit. Bump me. Well, you rotten, no good for nothing, no down scoundrel snake. Guess what I'm full of? The flesh. You want to know if you're full of the Spirit or not, Spirit of God or not? Let somebody bump you and see what comes out. Because you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you get bumped, out comes some psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. I'll punch your face. That's my choice. About being thankful. Devin, I'm thankful for you. Even though that you've not treated me right, I'm thankful that you're part of our church. That's being filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, we've had our apple cart rocked late recently. But I'm thankful. Now listen to me. Don't throw rocks at me. I'm thankful for my son. No grudges. No bitterness. I'm going to keep on talking to him. Because I want the Spirit of God to come out.
That's right. That's good. That's good.
I want to come out. I want to be filled. I struggle on a daily basis. I really do. I'm not a good Christian. I'm a fleshly man. Mm-hmm. With all kinds of flesh. And all the times when I'm bumped, my first reaction, I'll tell you something, my first reaction is I want to give you a few choice words I couldn't repeat here in mixed company, then punch your lights out. If you've known me very long, but the Victor's known me for a while, Tom and Matt known me for a long time, I can be a little bit dramatic. Sometimes I blow things out of proportion. That, like, preacher, just take a breath, you know, in a few days it's not as big as you think it is. At the time, it's like, this was a big deal, and I want my way, somebody's going to pay for it. I struggle being filled with the Spirit of God, I really do. But I want to be victorious. I want God's plan for my life. I want God, the joy of the Holy Ghost. I want peace in my life.
Yes.
So I've got to yield. So how do I know if I'm full of the Spirit of God? What comes out when you get bumped?
Yeah.
Love? My wife must be filled because I said, I love you, Tina. Love came out.
Love you too, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, I want when I get bumped and rocked a little bit, I want there to be joy to come out and peace and long-suffering. But if all of a sudden comes out as hatred and grudging and bitterness, listen, I know it's, listen, it can be difficult. People can really, you know what I'm talking about. People can really push the limits to the point sometimes we want to say, I just don't even care anymore and write them off. But let me tell you, when you do something like that, you resist the Holy Ghost. Because let me tell you something, let me ask you something. Is your grudge, is that a thing of submission and humility? Is your idea that I won't give in until he gives in? Is that an idea of submission and humility? Or is that somewhat drawing a line of, I deserve better? Well, if we all got what we deserved. So let me ask you a question again tonight. How do you know if I'm filled? Preacher, I'm submitted. How do you know if I'm filled? What comes out? When you get bumped, full of Spirit, it'll come out some whole happy, you know, some songs, some thankfulness, some love, and peace, and forgiveness, and temperance. What? No, I'm not worried about them. You know, it's amazing. We as adults, we are crazy. We are nuts. We think our kids are nuts. We are nuts. You know, we don't tell our kids, it don't matter what he does, you do right. What do we do with adults? You know what I'm talking about. Well, I know, but what about you? You're the believer. You're God's child. He says something. The world has no idea of the Holy Spirit. Only what they see come out of you and me. If they see all this drama and grudging and bitterness and anger and cursing and swearing, they're like, why would I want that Spirit? I've already got that one. So let me ask you tonight, when you get bumped, what comes out, teenager? What comes out, mama? Who doesn't bumps you a little bit? Love come out? Forgiveness come out? You're like, don't touch me. Baby, being married to you must be a treat. Ready to go home? Just want to be a help to you. I know tonight we try. I try to get sometimes close to home. That's where I have to get. Because when I go hunting, I try to aim at what I'm hunting at. But if I'm aiming at the deer, I'm not going to aim across the road. I'm aiming for a reason tonight. Because listen, I don't want to be in a dead church. In a fleshly church is a dead church. Bitter people are dead spiritually. Yeah. Dead. Angry people. There's no spiritual life there. We don't need here in Dubuque, Iowa, 2019, almost 2020, a bunch of fleshly, carnal, angry, bitter believers and old paths. We need spirit-filled people to rock Dubuque once for Christ and be a lighthouse to this area. It's going to take us being filled with the Spirit of God. And so tonight, when you get bumped, what comes out? All right. Father, tonight, we come to you in closing. And thank you, dear God, for your, Lord, your love, Father, for us. And Lord, that we can be filled. And I believe, Lord, tonight that we just need to submit once again, Lord, to you, Lord. Yield ourselves. Lord, in Israel's righteousness. Lord, die to ourselves and die to sin. Mortify our members. And Lord, just submit to you, Father. And Lord, that looks like submitting to each other, submitting, Lord, to our authority. Being obedient, we need to be obedient, Father. And God, help us, I pray, to be filled tonight. We ask your name. Let's all stand tonight. Just a short time invitation. I need to come. Would you come tonight? Are you filled tonight with the Spirit of God? He wants to. He's wanting to. He's able to. It's not up to him tonight. Because that's what he's supposed to do. He's trying to do it. Are you submitted tonight to him? Are you yielded? Are you yielded? The more you yield, the more he'll fill. Hey, the more you get yourself out of the way, the more he can fill. Hey, when pride slips out, he fills you up. When anger is put out, he fills you up. When that grudge that you have, when that goes, the Holy Spirit of God fills you. Hey, when that lust goes out, that pornography goes out, the Spirit of God fills you. That bad stinking thinking, he'll fill you. He's wanting to. Will you let him tonight? Amen. Let me tell you something. Tonight, if the Spirit of God put a finger on your heart about something, don't delay in getting it fixed. You know as well as I do, if you delay, come Tuesday morning, you'll be like, well, it ain't such a big deal after all. And then you go another week without being filled with the Spirit of God. I'll tell you something, being filled, boy, there's righteousness, there's peace, there's joy, being filled with the Spirit of God. And he wants you to have that, not in heaven, but here. You can have that here. And so I encourage you tonight, surrender. Surrender is not losing. God's listening. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. You'll keep it. But if you keep your life, you'll lose it. The best way for Christians is just give up and surrender. There's victory there. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. And thank you, dear God, tonight for our church family. What a blessing, Lord, to serve alongside them. Lord, thank you, Father, for all that's been done. And Lord, that will be done, Father. Use this place, I pray, Father, for your honor and glory. May this place be filled with the Spirit of God. As we walk with you, Lord, we ask your name. Amen.